God bless you. That was anointed. Thank you. Such a joy to be able to come and stand in this great pulpit when you have the kind of worship that we have just experienced. Amen. Marcia, thank you for blessing our hearts. Praise team and choir, thank you. You just blessed my heart in so many ways. It's always good to have you that are guests with us, and we appreciate you being here each and every Sunday. We want you to experience God when you come here. We want you to experience His presence, His purpose, His power in your life. We want your life to be changed through His presence and through His power and the peace that He imparts to you. I want to take a point of personal privilege this morning. I want to ask all of our mothers to stand. All of our mothers to stand. Now, if your mother's not here, I want you to if she's not here, that means she's in glory, amen? Or she's not able to be with you. Then I want you to go to somebody and just you that are seated, I want you to go to one of these mothers and just say, thank you. Thank you for being the godly mother that you are and for raising godly sons and daughters, because I truly believe, as someone said, that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that steers this nation, and that our faith and who we are as a people comes from you. In fact, Paul reminded Timothy of the faith that was in his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, that faith that we're going to talk about today in this message. So take a few minutes right now. Don't need anybody to leave. Lock the front doors. But go to a mother right now and say, thank you for being a godly mother. You that are seated, go to a mother. As you leave today, our young adult class is going to help me at the front door, Romanite front door, and this side door, there's a rose for each one of you mothers. So you be sure and receive your rose from Romanite. And then the church, Dutch Fork Baptist Church, has a special gift for you too. And I think they're located out here in the vestibule. So you'll have to leave that way to get and receive your gift from Dutch Fork Baptist Church. I want to take a moment now, and I want to pray specifically for you mothers. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the godly mother that you placed in my life. Although I wasn't privileged to have her very long, I thank you, Father, that you blessed me with a mother that took me upon her knee and taught me, Heavenly Father, of your love and your mercy and your grace. And as I was privileged last Sunday to preach homecoming in that church where I was christened and sprinkled as a baby, I thank you for the roots and the heritage that you gave to me through my mother. And I thank you for these mothers here today, Father. I thank you, God, for their sons and their daughters, for their husbands, the fathers of their children. I thank you, Father, for these mothers who have chosen to make you a priority, to choose to be that godly example, that godly wife, that godly lady, that godly mother. To give their sons and to give their daughters a legacy and a heritage that can be passed on to the generations that follow. I pray today specifically for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your direction, that you will be their Jehovah Shalom, their peace, their Jehovah Jireh, their provider, their Jehovah Nissi, that you will walk them with them through those valleys that all mothers experience at some point, at some time, just as the mother of Jesus when he was hanging on that cross. I pray, Father, that you'd wrap your loving arms around them and so embrace them today that they may experience your great joy and your love in your abundant way of blessing us with these godly mothers. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Anna Jarvis, who petitioned the Congress and the President of this nation, who felt in her heart that there needed to be a special day, that we paused as the people of God and as a nation, as the faith community, and recognized the intrinsic value of the mother, the one that Solomon called the virtuous woman, whose price was far above rubies, so much so that her children would arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and they would praise her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Thank you, Father, for giving us godly mothers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 19. We are going to look at two different passages, actually probably three different passages this morning, and I do have a mistake in your bulletin, I think. It should be, I think, 2 Peter rather than 1 Peter, yes. It should be 2 Peter, Timothy. And it should be Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. And for those of you that do not know, Pastor Johnny does make a mistake every so often in his messages. And I made a real big mistake and had to get Leon to edit the sermon. The last sermon that I preached on Christianity and Islam, which was 2 weeks ago, you'll find the corrected copy on the website now that you can go to and listen to today. I thank God for my wife. I don't think she's listening, but she is always listening. And we walked out the church that Sunday morning and got in the car. And of course, you know, I'm wanting to hear that affirmation that I need from my wife. And she instead, in her kind and gentle way, she says, "Johnny," she says, "not because you've told me, but she said Daniel was in the Old Testament." And so there was a mistake there, and I'm grateful that Roma caught that and I was able to correct that. They did not go into captivity in A.D. 70. They went into captivity much earlier than that. I jumped from the New Testament back to the Old Testament, and I didn't take you all along with me. And I'm prone to doing that, and so I needed to make that correction this morning. And it came, you know, it makes me realize how dependent that we are on the Lord and how frail we are and how fragile we are and that we all have feet of clay. Amen? This message this morning is a message that God birthed in my heart. As I mentioned in my prayer, I lost my mother when she was 57 years of age, and some of you may have lost your mother earlier than that. To me, that was much too young. Now that is really young, that Roma and I both are past the age of losing her father and losing her mother and now losing both of my parents. But this message is kind of birthed out of the memories of my mother and what my mother meant to me as a young boy, and how she impacted and so impacted my life. And the things that I wish that I could do for her now that she's gone and I can't. And I know that I'm not alone in thinking that. If your mother is present with you today or your mother is living today, please, please make contact with her and let her know how grateful you are. I can't imagine how Mary must have felt. If you're in John's Gospel there, we're going to look at those verses in John's Gospel 25 through 27. I can't imagine how she must have felt. Jesus is approximately 33 years of age. I reminded our son John this past March. He turned 33. I said, do you realize that you're the age that Jesus was when he was crucified? I think about that quite often. I thought about it when I turned 33, and I think about that quite often. A mother who was given a son, chosen by God, and given a son to so impact the world. Mothers, you have no idea the impact that you're having in the lives of those precious, precious babies that God gives and entrusts to you. Think about Mary being entrusted. Think about Joseph being entrusted by God to raise his only begotten son. These verses are found there. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Isn't that amazing? Three Marys at the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Now, this phrase in that day and in that time was not a careless phrase. This was not a, and certainly Jesus would never say anything in a careless manner or a manner that was disrespectful. In fact, the word woman was a very tender, if you go back to the Greek and look at that, it was a very tender expression on the part of Jesus to say, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And of course, this is John, the gospel writer of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in Revelation. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother, thy mother. The same tender expression in the Greek, in the active Greek, the same tender expression that he is saying to John, that apostle, the beloved apostle, he's saying now, son, you are my brother, behold your mother. Notice the care that he is demonstrating there. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 for just a minute and verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord, this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And of course, you go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and you discover that commandment given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai for the people of God. There's something to be said when God ordained the first institution, and that institution, of course, was the home, the marriage, and family. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Paul writes to his young son in the faith, Timothy, these words in 2 Timothy. He says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to seeing thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance, not much is mentioned about Eunice and Lois in Scripture, but enough is mentioned to tell you that Timothy had a Greek father and a Jewish mother, and therefore this faith that was instilled from this grandmother to this mother to this son is recognized by the great Apostle Paul, who under the leadership of the Holy Spirit wrote 13 books we know of by name in the New Testament, and some of us believe that he perhaps was also the human writer of the book of Hebrews, 14 books, over half of the New Testament. A profound legacy and heritage. It is not by accident that Paul calls this to our remembrance today. The influence that you as a mother have for generations to come. When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's in thee also. Legacy and heritage. No greater love than a mother's love. Certainly, that is not spoken out of context in the sense that there's no greater love than God's love, because God is love. But there's no greater love to be expressed in the community and faith than the faith of a mother. And our text, our last text, points to us and tells us the legacy and the heritage that is passed down, so much so that the man, Paul, converted on the Damascus Road, changed by the power of God, would record for us and write to that young son, Timothy, and encourage him because of the evidence of the faith that dwelt in his grandmother and the faith that dwelt in his mother. Today we live in a blame game world. Unfortunately, we point the finger everywhere and we fail to take responsibility, many of us, for our actions and our shortcomings and our weaknesses. It's easier to point the finger and say, well, I came out of this type of home, or I came out of that type of home. And sometimes Roma and I will be talking and she'll say, Johnny, let's don't go there. Let's let the past be the past, talking about my past. Unfortunately, the lifestyle, the home that I had to grow up in as a young boy, I tell people I attended church twice a month. Yeah, because we didn't have church the other two Sundays. And I tell people I didn't turn out half bad. And I tell people that my mother made sure when I went out on a Friday night, you young fellas listen to this, she made sure that I had an iron and starched white shirt on. And she would always ask me after I took my bath, she would say, Johnny, did you put on clean? Because it was a reflection of her. So my first point in this message this morning is, love her absolutely unconditionally. No bars. Love your mother. It is a command of God. If you want your blessings on your life, love your mother. Love her unconditionally. She deserves to be loved because God created her to be a mother, and she's the only person that can be a mother, and she gave life to you. Maybe it wasn't in the greatest of circumstances. Maybe it wasn't in the most beautiful situation and place or circumstances that you were born. But my friend, she went through the valley of the shadow of death for you. And she gave you life. Love her unconditionally. Regardless of what has happened between you and her, what has taken place between you and her, love her unconditionally. Because you see, your love for your mother will be a reflection of your love for your Heavenly Father. You see, it's one of those things that Jesus said, by this they'll know that you are my disciple. So where does it start? It has to start in your family and in your home. So you love her unconditionally. You remember that she is your mother. She is the mother that God chose to give to you. Whatever she may or may not be in your opinion this morning does not matter. You love her unconditionally. God, in His sovereignty, gave you your mother. He permitted you to be born to her and to her alone. He chose your mother for you. Now, If he can't and he doesn't make a mistake, then he did what was best in your sight for you, because there's something he wants to teach you through that experience. Love her unconditionally. Secondly, love her prayerfully. Oh, I would love to have my mother back, that I could wrap my arms around her and embrace her and pray for her. No matter how your situation may be, good or not so good, or in between, pray for your mother. The effectual prayers of a righteous person availeth much. Be righteous in your prayer life. If you cannot pray for your mother, you cannot pray for anyone else, because there's an attitude in your heart between you and God and that other person, and it is robbing you of the relationship that God desires to have with you and that God desires that you have with your mother. Pray for your mother. Love her patiently. Be patient with her. She's never had a son or daughter like you before. She's learning too. I mean, John says we learned on Joni and perfected on him. Huh? I guess we're going to get two grandbabies to really learn on, aren't we? Hey, by the way, I spoke prophetically 2 weeks ago. I want you all to know that. When I said I knew what I was going to do with my little boy and what Roma was going to do with her little girl. And I figured it out. And yesterday, I was right. Of course, Miss Roma was too. Of course, Miss Roma helped me be right. You know how she helped me be right? Because she reminded me how she carried John and how she carried Joni. And I said, baby A, baby B, Love her patiently. Understand, she is in a learning curve. And as long as you're breathing and as long as she's breathing, life is constantly changing. You're becoming a teenager. You're becoming a middle schooler. You're becoming a college and career. You're becoming all of a sudden a wife or a husband. You're now an adult. And sometimes it's hard for mama to transition from seeing you as that precious gift from God. I remember saying this to Romo on several occasions. I said, sweetheart, he's a man now. You got to talk to him like a man. He's a man now. You got to be careful. He's not a little boy. Oh, mamas. They love them so much. They want to keep them. Can you imagine Mary? Can you imagine the pain that was in her heart? Because she knew ultimately what was going to happen with her son, yet she understood that it was the plan and the purpose and the will of God. Be patient with your mother. Patience is a virtue. Did you know that? Love her privately. Have those tender moments with her. Boy, I'd love to be able to have my mother to take her on a date. If you've got a mother today and she's living and you can take her on a date, go take her on a date. Just you and her. Love her privately, for in those private moments, it'll be when you really learn her heart and she really learns your heart. Love her privately. Privately. Can you imagine sitting across the table at Fats or Texas Roadhouse or Trevina's in Lexington or Old Charlie's or somewhere, or maybe some of those big places downtown Columbia. You know, you won't ever have that opportunity again to spend private time with your mother. Take her on a date. Take her on a date. Mom, I get tickled at Joni and Roma. John calls Joni RJ. That's Roma Jr. And she is. Every Monday, they have mother-daughter time. Joni has a date with her mother. And it doesn't matter. Her mother will change doctor's appointments just so she can be with Joni. And then they invite me in for lunch. I like that. Because then I get to spend time with my two ladies. Love her privately. Love her gratefully. Love her gratefully. The word grateful and thankful sometimes are used interchangeably. But gratefully means in the process of that development and that understanding and that growing together as a mother and a daughter or a mother and a son, and as that daughter or that develops into a young lady and that son develops into a young man, you begin to understand the passion and the heart of your mother and the decisions that she made in your growing up years, in those struggling years, in those developmental years, in those years that were so critical to who and what you are today. Gratefully means you've got to take time. You've got to take time. It's easy to say thank you. It's easy just to write a card and say thank you. And thank God that many of you did that. I hope all of you did that today. You sent your mother a card, or you got a card waiting for her with something in it. If you have it, shame, shame, shame. You should. Love her gratefully. Remember those times when she sacrificed for you, when she gave up for you, when she did without for you. I used to ask my mother, why do you like the neck of a fried chicken? One day she sat me down and she told me, so you and your sister could enjoy the legs and your father could enjoy the breast. Now, every once in a while, I'll eat a neck. I've never liked necks. But my mother would always eat the neck. And she would try to convince me how sweet the meat was on that neck. And there's nothing but bone in an old neck and skin. Until one day when she told me, I sat back, and as a grown man, I wept. I weep a little bit this morning thinking about it. I mean, we got fried chicken when the preacher came. And he came once in a while, and one day he got my drumstick. My sister got her drumstick, and I reminded him that he got my drumstick. Of course, my father had a greater lecture with me afterwards than my mother did. Roma will tell you, I had the sweetest little mother that ever walked on 2 feet. She stood about 4 feet, 11 inches tall. Godly, godly, godly. It oozed out of her. And you young men, listen to me today. When I began to date, I could hear the ring of my mother's voice in my ears. And I knew that there were some places and some things that I could never do, and some places I could never be a part of, and some things I could never be a part of, I could never be engaged in, because I knew that my mother would know. Love her gratefully. Love her physically. I'd love to be able to squeeze my little mama right now and just squeeze her and never let her go. Never take those hugs for granted. Never take those kisses for granted. Never take those tears for granted. Never, never, never take that physical touch of a mother's lips on your brow, on your head, on your cheek, for granted. Love her physically. Love her with the greatest honor, respect, and praise. That's what God said do. Children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It is the first commandment with promise. Recently, I had conversation with somebody. Somebody's life who was challenged and different. Somebody who had experienced what we would traditionally call not a normal upbringing. And I was amazed as I talked with this individual, the honor and the respect and the love that they had developed for their mother. Commendable. Commendable. You see, God said, do it. He didn't say if the circumstances are right. He didn't say if everything's perfect about her. He didn't say if she always treats you right, buys you the right things, does everything you want to. He said, honor her and respect her and love her, for in doing so, you honor me. You bring respect and glory to my name. Pray with me, please.